We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, well, let's move on to the Pirates. And it's starting to get to be roster cutdown time and lineup time and who's in and who's out. And one of the big stories about McCutchen coming in, and I'm all for it, but some people were concerned that, hey, is this going to block one of your prospects? And as it turns out here, Swaggerty had a great spring. Let me see here. He has slashed .379 batting average, .471 on base, .690 slugging. For what it's worth, I get it. 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, and good defense in the outfield. He's a guy, he's not 19 anymore. He's a guy who I would think you'd want to see what he can do. And I realize you could have McCutchen and Swaggerty on the same roster. Of course you could. But is McCutchen's presence keeping Swaggerty from being here, and is that a good thing?
A thing to look at is he was drafted in 2018. So was a St. Louis Cardinal outfielder who, at a very younger age, has made the roster this year. They don't hesitate in bringing guys up, even if it means from single A to the majors overnight, because they saw potential in the guy they drafted. Not that the Pirates don't.
Wait, but who are you talking about?
The St. Louis Cardinals. I forget the guy's name.
It's the number one prospect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he's 20 years old, and he made their roster.
Well, Swaggerty's 25, so the simple question, if McCutchen wasn't on the team, would Swaggerty be?
Does he have to not be on the team for Swaggerty to be?
That's not the same question. Is McCutchen's presence on
Why
the team?
Why is Connor Joe on the team?
He got hurt.
I'm just saying, isn't he going to have a roster spot?
Let me just play devil's advocate here. McCutchen isn't just on the team. He's starting.
Right.
Would you rather have those at-bats go to Swaggerty? The outfield reps go to Swaggerty?
Me personally, yes, because he's 25 and it's time. But I also know why they brought McCutchen in, and that's all fine too. And I have nothing against that, except, you know, they seem to think that Jack Suwinski is an automatic here. I'm not convinced that he is that.
Me neither.
I think it's less to do with McCutchen and more to do with Suwinski.
Travis Swaggerty is their best defensive outfielder in their system, period. There's nobody better. And he's hit, you know, again, number one pick, he's 25. He's not 20. St. Louis is willing to give a 20-year-old the same opportunity in a crowded outfield there.
I think you got to find a way to have Swaggerty make this team.
And, well, he did what he was supposed to do.
Yes, and he's 25, and he's a first-round pick.
That's what I'm saying. They wait too long with some guys.
So, yeah.
How about Tucapita Marcano?
He wasn't a first-round
pick.
No,
but he was a highly thought-of guy who was here last year, brought over in a trade. Why isn't he on the roster?
Good question. And I do agree with you in the end that, of course, you could have McCutchen and Swaggerty on the team, but it looks like McCutchen is going to play outfield here for a while, more than they thought. In my opinion, this should be your outfield should be Swaggerty, Reynolds, and maybe Suwinski, and then McCutchen, you know, coming in once in a while but playing a lot of DH. I think you can reasonably ask if people's worst fears about the McCutchen signing are coming true. I still love it. I do, but I think it's a legitimate question to ask. Would his presence block a prospect?
But see, I don't see that this is some kind of logjam out there, because I think, I don't know, I don't want to just give the starting position to Jack Suwinski, because I don't think he's really earned that yet, based on how he finished the season.
Right.
So
he had a lot of home runs, but
then he
really struggled in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
And he hasn't done anything here to make me think that they believe he's going to be their best center fielder option. That's even more interesting to me, because I thought Reynolds handled that position pretty well.
I mean, Reynolds is the only guy that should be playing in the outfield like out there in the grass, standing on the grass every single day. Everybody else, I mean, including McCutchen, because he should get some reps.
But I will say
DH.
This, if their plan is not to play Travis Swaggerty on a regular basis, then it suits him no good to come up here and play and sit on a bench. He needs to play.
Yeah, play
and that's
him.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
When do you get to the point where prospects who look pretty good get a chance to play? I mean, you got to at some point
Bob,
do that.
Well, let's be honest. It's harder when you bring in a guy at the tail end of his career who's just been an okay hitter in recent years.
Yeah, but there's a spot for that. It's called designated hitter.
Well, you're right. I agree. But there's also a spot for people like G-Man Choi at designated hitter, right?
Carlos Santana.
Or Santana.
Yeah, but again, they overdid it with those kind of guys, the veteran guys who are in here on one-year deals. And taking the place of a 25-year-old first-round pick who shows you that he can do a lot, potentially.
So here's their lineup for today. Kevin Gorman tweets out. Forget 7, 8, 9 for now. Maybe not, but the top six are what interests me right now. O'Neill Cruz leading off, followed by Reynolds, McCutchen, Santana, Sawinski, Hayes. That's your top six. What do you make of that top six? You think that's what we see
basically opening day?
I'm sorry, but you don't have a good line. I love Andrew McCutchen. We're going to be at opening day. My daughter loves him. I think a lot of people in this town for good reason love him. If he's your number three hitter, you don't have a very good lineup. Sorry.
Well, first of all, they believe Cruz in the leadoff spot is the best place.
I like
and
that.
Reynolds is the second hitter. A lot of people like that, too. I'd put him third in my lineup. Ahead of Andrew McCutchen, I put McCutchen down lower. I got to believe that Ke'Bryan Hayes better be my best or one of them. And if he's not, then what is his deal? You know, at some point, he has to be the guy they paid the money for in advance, even though it's easy money to give him, I think.
He has to be higher.
He has to be higher. If Ke'Bryan Hayes is on your team as your starting third baseman and he can't hit more than 7 home runs, you got trouble.
And then 7, 8, 9 is Kanan Smith and Jigba.
He had a good camp, too.
Jason Heumann, rain delay, and then Jiwon Bae. See, I want Castro not only on the team, but up in the order.
Castro is going to be on the team, and he may bet third or second, too.
I mean, I should say I not only want him starting, I want him high in the order. I know he's going to be on the team. Did he lose the job here?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think Jiwon Bae is on the team as a reserve because he can do a lot. He can play different positions.
How about the Heumann rain delay? How soon?
I don't
do
think
we
he's
see...
is he on the team?
You
got Austin Hedges
question.
And you got Tyler Heineman.
He'll probably back him up. Heineman.
And I love.
But there's another question. Okay, since we're bringing that up, what about Andy Rodriguez? You know, he's a guy who's shown me that he can. He's certainly capable of hitting.
He
at
is.
At what point do you just say we got to go with younger people here who we believe
they will? They will. How much AAA time has he spent, Bob?
Again, I cite St. Louis. How many times they just go straight to the majors?
From where?
From single A.
What? From single A to the majors? They go
the
in St. Louis.
He's 20 years old. He got a cup of coffee at either double or triple, but he earned a spot, and he made the roster.
I'm okay with Andy Rodriguez starting the year at AAA. He started last year with the Greensboro Grasshoppers.
All right. What about Henry Davis?
And I actually like their plan. Charrington just said yesterday that Endy will catch at AAA and Davis will catch at AA because they want them both as catchers. And as he put it, one has to be in one place and one in the other so they can catch every day. I love the idea of having two catchers. That's the way of it in Major League Baseball these days. You don't have Iron Man catchers anymore. A guy can DH. Endy Rodriguez can play other positions. I believe that both these guys could be here this year. I think Endy will be here by mid-season, and I'm okay with that. I am.
Okay.
He's only 21, I think, right?
Nor should you have Iron Man catchers anymore, really, if you're really going to protect this guy's health long-term. That position just beats you up.
I just want to see a younger kid come up here and play and be given an opportunity and trusted. 21, 22, 23.
Cruz
right,
was
they
one.
Did it. Good
Sawinski was one. He's maybe over-trusted.
How old is Sawinski?
I don't know, but get the idea that it's a younger guy.
Well, he got an opportunity through injury, and he took advantage of it. And good for them that they let him ride a little bit.
He's 24, just turned 24, I believe. And I think you will see that. You're going to see Endy come up here. You're going to see Henry Davis. You might see Nick Gonzalez at some point. I hope you do. and you're going to see other young guys.
Pitchers, too. They got some good young pitchers, at least.
Oh, I want to see
Quinn Priester?
Ortiz? Priester. I think you're going to see that.
I think Ortiz should actually be here now.
So do I.
And I don't know if he's in their plans or not for now.
It seems like some guys, like Ortiz, you know, they're quoted as saying, well, he didn't have a very good spring training. He's got to go down. But then Swaggerty did, and it's not enough.
Right.
I don't get it.
That's because they have a plan. Well, right. And their plan's never going to change no matter what you
based
do.
Sometimes it needs to.
Your plan is only as good as, you know, the execution of it. And if there's someone else who comes along, you have to adapt your plan and change your plan.
Right.
I agree with that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Cook and Joe Show. Bob Pompeiani here. Joe had something to take care of, so... Joe has left the building, but he'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Joe has left the building.
And Ron is still on vacation somewhere, having a good time, I'm sure.
Some beach.
Somewhere, considering the offer by Cindy.
Cindy, yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. Stay tuned. 412-928-9370. If you're inclined to call, this would be a good time to do it because I got to take you all the way to 2 o'clock before the PM team comes in here and they do their thing. We've been talking a lot about the Pirates and their lineup and people who are going to make their roster here. So, I mean, they brought in guys who have to make it. They're one-year deals. Carlos Santana, veteran guy. G-Man Choi, veteran guy. Started a 3-2-3 double play yesterday. These are guys who can help, certainly, with some of the younger guys. But the thing you don't want is for them to take at-bats away from younger people who might deserve them. And we cited the example of Travis Swaggerty. Put up a really good spring, and he's 25 years old. Again, at some point, he needs to have a spot on this roster, and I thought it might be this year. But if you're going to bring in Andrew McCutchen, if you're going to bring in some of these veteran guys, they obviously take positions that could be occupied by some younger players. You know, I saw a lot of Tucapita Marcano last year that I liked, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. And looking at the outfield, I mean, why does Connor Joe get a shot? And a spot
because
over
he's
Travis,
Connor
Travis
Joe.
Swaggerty.
Because he's Connor Joe.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know. They liked him a long time ago. He goes to Colorado, and now he's back.
Yeah, they drafted him, didn't they?
Yeah, they
2014.
Did. It's going to be interesting to see Jack Suwinski and what he can do on a regular basis in center field. So, Colchi, I'm not so sure that is their answer there. I would think that they're going to start there, but if things, you know, don't go as well as expected, they may move Reynolds there and move him to left or out of the lineup for a while. Maybe Swaggerty gets a call up then at that point. Who knows? These are, not positions that you can guarantee anything at this point. I like Jack Suwinski. I think he has a very good bat when he's on. When he's not, he struggled. I think the league made adjustments to what they saw from the first time around with Jack Suwinski last year.
Right. I mean, I think he's in position where, yes, you can put him, you can make him have a spot on this team, but also bring a guy like Travis Swaggerty in to challenge him a little bit. And if he's in a rut like he was at the end of last season, bringing a guy like Swaggerty to take his place. I mean, it's not like what I was trying to say in the last segment. I really don't think it's a logjam out there in the outfield because Andrew McCutchen is on the team. I think they've got some options here. They can rotate Santana and Choi and McCutchen at that DH spot. Yep. One of those guys can sit the bench if they don't make, you know, the DH or the first base or right field, left field, whatever. They can mix and match with those guys. And you can have a guy like Swaggerty on this roster and get him maybe two or three starts a week.
Yeah, we're going to see how it goes. But early in the season with so many days off and so much inconsistency there, I think they're going to defer to the veterans here and we'll see how it goes. I think the key, if I had to name one key, and I said it last segment, it would be Ke'Bryan Hayes. He has to be the person who takes a major step forward in this batting order.
Yeah, and I just wonder about him. I really do. I mean, I know he had a bunch of injuries last year that he was dealing with, that he kind of, was it him at the end of the year, just kind of the last couple weeks of the season, rattled off all of these things that he's been dealing with?
Mm-hmm.
And it really sounded like he should have been shut down at the end of last season. Why were they continuing to roll this guy out there when he was dealing with all of this on a losing team? But you hope that those injuries really slowed him, because seven home runs or whatever he had in a 240 average, that's not going to cut it.
No, you need a lot from your third baseman, especially on a team that needs offense from that position, because it doesn't have a whole bunch of it elsewhere. All right, Coltsy, who's on the phone right now? We're going to get somebody on here.
Yes, we got Walt checking in.
What's up, Walt?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good, what's going on?
Hey, I was very disturbed to hear that report that the Oakland Athletics made more profit than anybody else and the Pirates were eighth in the thing. And all that tells me is you're never going to change what Nutting's doing. That's what he's after. You know, the Mets and the Dodgers, they want to win so they could throw that profit out the window. But that was a disturbing thing to me, because I just don't think Nutting's going to pay Reynolds. I don't think he's going to pay Cruz when it comes time, and I know that's 4 years away. And all these moves you were talking about, and I wish I knew the particulars of the money process that they go through with arbitration, but I would believe that some of these moves are more for money for Nutting than anything else. And I agree with what you say. Why have somebody like Swaggerty sit on the bench when he can be down in AAA playing? That's my thoughts on the whole thing.
Well, as far as money is concerned, again, you know, Coltsy, they brought in Andrew McCutchen more as a PR thing. Yeah, he can still play, but they needed something like that, and that's a good move to do it. I'll acknowledge that, okay? But you also have a guy like Brian Reynolds. If you want to make statements that you're serious about whatever you're serious about, this is an opportunity, because this is not going to break any bank. This isn't. And I know they don't have to do it. They still have years of control for him, so they don't have to do it now. I get all of that. But you can also do it now and still trade him if you want to trade him at a price that I'm sure a lot of teams would love to have. You know, if he has a really good year and you still want to trade him because prospects are high, even if you sign him to a 6-year deal, 5-year deal, you can still do that. Nobody says you can't. It would send a message to me that they're serious about playing poker once in a while.
And, well, this is what you work for, right? When you have all these prospects, you hope that they one day turn into Brian Reynolds, who is at age 28. He had a little bit of a down season, I guess you could say, last year, hitting only .262, but 27 home runs, 62 RBIs. Maybe that was a case of just being in a bad lineup. But this is what you want your prospects to become. And if you're going to get to this point where Reynolds has kind of made it, right? He is who you thought he could be, and you're not going to pay him, like you're saying. What kind of message does that send?
Right. At some point, they're all going to get to this point. If you're lucky enough to get them, draft them, develop them, and then they're ready to cash in, then you're going to have to play the game. I want to see him play the game more. We're rolling along until we get to the PM show, which starts at 2. Bob Pompeiani here. Joe Starkey had a run out. He'll be back at you tomorrow at 10 a.m. sharp for another edition of the program. Matt Cole over here taking care of the ones and the twos and everything else. So we're going to get back to NCAA and that call, that foul call. So, Matt, I looked at that. I keep looking at it, and I didn't think it needed to be called. A lot of people think a foul is a foul, is a foul is a foul. However, they were letting a lot of hand-checking go on in that game. They let a lot of physical activity go on in that game. They set the stage for no calls in that situation, unless it's pretty egregious, and then you'd absolutely call it. The guy had his hand on a hip, and from behind, I don't know that it really did anything to the shot. Some people say it did. Should that call have been made at that juncture of the game, tied at 56?
No, I don't think so. It's the same Super Bowl scenario that we had that Joe mentioned whenever he talked about this earlier in the show with James Bradbury holding Juju Smith-Schuster. Letter of the law, yes, of course, it's a penalty. Should they have called it in that situation? Being that big of a situation and also based on how the game was officiated to that point, no, they shouldn't have. And Seth Greenberg from ESPN, we played the audio of that earlier in the show, he said it perfectly where he said, you know, an official even texted him and said, you don't just call the absolutes, as in you don't just call what you see as a foul. You also factor in score, time, and how the game has been played up to that point.
Right.
You've got to have some context to it.
It's not unlike a pitcher who looks to the umpire to figure out what he's going to allow him to get away with that day, whether it's a high strike, a low strike, whatever.
Yep.
As long as you're consistent so that even batters need to know. They need to know, okay, you're going to let that go or what? And if you do, that's fine. At least I know what I'm dealing with. And so in that kind of situation, I thought that was very reminiscent of what happened to, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster in that Super Bowl. It did not need to be called. It wasn't called the entire game. And then in that moment, of all moments, you're going to make a call like that. It's, to me, it influences the outcome of a game, and it shouldn't.
It is part of the beauty of sports, though, that we have, you know, humans, obviously, calling these games and officiating these games where they can have leans one way or the other. And it's kind of a chess match at the beginning of every game where it's the players are figuring out what exactly they can get away with or what's going to be called during that game. And once they do that, you know, by the second half and certainly by the last few minutes of a game, you should have had that figured out. And you should know as a high-level athlete, this is something that I can get away with here and shouldn't necessarily be punished or penalized for it if it hadn't happened the entire game.
That game was played at a level that I think the Aztecs of San Diego State are very happy with. It's a low-scoring, physical, defensive game, and that's what they kind of took Creighton into. Creighton missed – listen, I'm not going to make excuses for them and say they deserve – they missed a lot of opportunities. Yeah, the Aztecs play good defense, but you got to make shots once in a while too. And if you're going to win a game like that, you better, even at the foul line. So I'll tell you who was good at the foul line, Miami in that other game against Texas. Every time they went there, they made every single foul shot. It's amazing. And that's a team to watch out for because they could score 88 points. They got 50 in the second half yesterday.
It didn't even seem like 88 was like it was an easy 88.
Right.
It didn't seem like they were going to get close to 88, you know, midway through that second half, and then they just exploded there. So they are a very dangerous team. It feels like they have four or five guys that can go off for 20-plus points.
The other news of the day, in case you just joined us, was that Lamar Jackson came out and said he officially had asked for a trade back on March the 2nd. But if you're him, what do you expect them to do? They're pretty much waiting to see if there's another offer that another team could come up with. And so I guess the big question right now, you know, Coltsy, is there a team out there that will do that? Is there a team? Indianapolis, we talked about earlier, is desperate for a quarterback. They've had nothing but older quarterbacks who've done nothing and they're paying a lot of money for. Why not just make a deal with Baltimore? Baltimore needs to know where they're going here sooner or later. They can't operate with no quarterback or someone who's not willing to come in on a franchise tag. And then what do they do in the meantime?
And maybe Baltimore has some hesitation trading him to Indianapolis because it's within the AFC. And if you give Lamar Jackson to the Colts, they're absolutely a contender because they have pieces in place already.
They do.
They've got Jonathan Taylor there. They've
great
got Michael Pittman.
Back, good offensive line.
Washington is another team that I think would be crazy enough, maybe if you want to use the word crazy, but just would be willing to part with assets enough, I think, to bring in a quarterback like Lamar Jackson to plug and play in that division that's highly competitive. What we saw from last year with the Giants coming on, you got the Cowboys there and the Eagles. They've got to do something maybe a little bit desperate to get ahead in the NFC, and otherwise the NFC is pretty wide open. I mean, other than the Eagles and the 49ers, who's the next best team in the NFC? I don't know. That's wide
open.
No,
I think the AFC is the conference that's difficult to maneuver because you got all these great quarterbacks. And the NFC is wide open, and that's also why I think the Atlanta Falcons should be involved. They need a quarterback, and they play indoors, and that could be a wonderful spot for him if they're willing to pony up whatever it may take.
And I don't put much stock in them saying right away, oh, we're not interested, because we saw plenty of teams in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes that said, oh, we're not very interested, including the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if they said it publicly, but that was a team that was out of nowhere. They had no interest in him until all of a sudden they did.
No,
and
until Jim Haslam lost his mind. And
pretty much.
but we'll see. As
far as Baltimore goes, I mean, now everything's up in the air. Now you have to go into the draft and think, all right, do we have to get desperate here? Do we have to trade up in this first round to get one of these top four quarterbacks? I mean,
because
what do we
do? You cannot survive with Tyler Huntley and whomever else they have down there.
Whether
Anthony
he's a
Brown,
Pro Bowler or not, yeah, he is not good enough.
All right, that brings us to the end here. We got the PM team coming up. Just want to remind you that Social Media's Biggest Loser is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at Awaken 180. Who would be the biggest loser? And I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I mean, loser is a little bit of a harsh
term. He's not
term.
A loser,
He's
but he was lost in space.
In thought.
He was lost in space somewhere. He's this. Mark Cabali, look at the video. Mike Tomlin's talking, and he's looking straight at the ceiling for a sustained period of time.
Yes.
What was he doing?
Looks like a hawk's about to come land on him. He's a little concerned about that. I think he responded and said that he felt that he had to sneeze, which I can get it. I can get that. It looks like he's about to sneeze, and he's trying not to all over Mike Tomlin. That would be very inconvenient.
That's the look I have when my woodpecker keeps coming on, and I keep looking up and wondering, what do I have to do to stop the woodpecker? Because he won't stop. He keeps pecking and pecking. Meanwhile, What's Cooking is brought to you by Mr. Rooter.
Thank you, Mr. Rooter.
Call 412-ROOTER2. And by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester. Very kindly.
Very kindly. Very incrinculently. That's going to do it for us. Joe Starkey back here tomorrow at 10. Ron Cook continues to be on his vacation. And he considers whether or not to pull the trigger on a date with Cindy Lou Who. Is that who
That's
it is?
Right. Cindy. Yeah, Cindy.
Okay. Cindy?
Maybe he's with Cindy right now on the beach. Who knows?
Maybe Ron is someplace at night in one of those Aaron Rodgers dark rooms consulting with whomever, drinking a beer, trying to figure out his next move. We'll see.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.